In the new book, Becoming Ms. Burton, From Prison to Recovery to Leading the Fight for Incarcerated Women, Susan Burton takes a look at her life and uses it as a lens through which to see the desperate need for criminal justice reform. After becoming addicted to drugs in the wake of her young son's death, Burton spent years cycling in and out of the prisons around Los Angeles, even being told by guards they'd keep an open bed for her when she left, expecting a speedy return. Burton managed to get clean and started a group home for formerly incarcerated women. She now runs the internationally recognized nonprofit A New Way of Life, which helps women leaving prison to find jobs, a place to live, and a way to reunite with their children. Again, the name of the book is Becoming Ms. Burton, and we welcome Ms. Burton, Susan Burton, to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
At what point did you feel that it was important and something that you wanted to do, sharing your story?
So it's been for some years now. I've thought about, you know, how do I elevate the voices of the mass incarceration of women? How do I tell a story to let, you know, America know the plight of women who are incarcerated? So it's been a few years now.
When you look to tell your story, what are you hoping to ultimately accomplish?
You know, I want to inform the public about women. I want them to work with me or to figure out different ways to address reducing recidivism. And I want women who have been incarcerated to be also courageous and tell their stories. I think storytelling is really, really important.
In reading the book, it seems as though your story certainly is a very inspiring story of addiction and ultimately recovery. Is that often, do you believe, most often the issue for women is the inability to become clean and sober?
So, you know, my story begins with a long history of trauma, of enduring different types of violence, trauma, and childhood abuse. I believe that is the story of many incarcerated women. And therefore, as a solution and a coping mechanism, they gravitate toward substance use, which can turn into substance misuse and land them in prison. So I think that, you know, as I sit around our homes in Southern California and talk to women, better than 90% have went through some type of abuse, some type of domestic violence, and childhood abuse. So for us to, at the end of that, when behaviors begin to arise from enduring and experiencing so much abuse, we should be addressing the behaviors and not incarcerating and re-traumatizing and punishing women.
Women, the poor, and, of course, this is a racial issue as well.
Yes. Yeah, I'll say black women. And one of the things that I, you know, in other communities, there are resources for the different types of experiences. In poor black communities, we lack the resources. That's one of the reasons I created a New Way of Life Reentry Project.
Give us a sense, Susan, of some of the ways in which you believe the deck is stacked against women who go in to jail, they pay their debt to society, they leave prison, and they try to establish what we will, for the sake of this conversation, call a normal life. How is the deck stacked against them?
Essentially, we get locked up, and then when we return to the community, we're locked out. So there's job discrimination. Okay, first of all, we're black. I'm black. And, you know, racism is rampant in America. So there's the factor of being a woman, being a black woman, and then having a criminal history. Not only, you know, are we locked up, but after serving our time, we're locked out of jobs, out of housing, out of opportunities that many of us just take for granted.
What is it that you believe was the ingredient or ingredients that you had that allowed you to break out of that while so many are unable to?
So I was really fortunate to get to find a place in a wealthy part of Los Angeles County called Santa Monica, California. I was able to access a treatment facility that was like three blocks from the beach. And in that community, there were just a wide array of services that I could access. I went to weekly therapy. I got in touch with 12-step meetings. Right now, this year, I'll be 20 years sober. There were art shows and there was culture, really different from what we experienced a few miles right down the 10 freeway. So this community was a community that was not only wealthy, but it had services to make that allowed people to become healthy, even through different types of abuses and traumatic experiences. So I was able to take in all of those different services, and it seemed like the rain and the clouds that had been over my life for the first half of my life, they parted, and the sun just shined down on me and guided my path to starting a new way of life.
One of the things that you realize in reading your story and reading the book is that this is so linked with incarcerated women, is so linked to their children as well. And that for some reason that seems to go overlooked as how the children are impacted by this and how the trauma that you went through is then often repeated and perpetuated in prison against the children of these incarcerated women.
Right. You know, many times when women are incarcerated, women are the last sort of grounding support to keep the family together, and children are sent off into foster care systems and, you know, passed around from home to home and place to place. So, you know, we just can do better, I believe. Many times these substance abuse and mental health crimes of poverty, we should not be criminalizing. We should put resources toward stabilizing and keeping families together. You know, while I was doing research for my book, Becoming Miss Burton, I tried to access research around women and the rates of incarceration for women by age, by crime, by ethnicity, and there's nothing out there. So I think that's telling that there's no real interest in the plight of incarcerated women. There's no interest in women, black women, poor women, that we're not even researching, while women are the fastest growing segment of our criminal system. So, you know, again, you know, we just can do better. I think about the history of women and women's movements, and, you know, we had to fight to vote. We have to continue to fight for fair pay. And, you know, here in this mass incarceration framework, you know, there's not even research around us. So we've got to do better.
One of the things that you talk about in the book that'll make your head hurt, just because it makes no sense, is that you have a program like A New Way of Life, and what it allows you to do to get people back on their feet. The thing that just stuns you is of how little that costs compared to what it costs to keep a woman, anyone, in prison.
Yes.
So how do you make sense of that?
You know, I think that we have to look at the history of our country and capitalism, that we would spend so much money and people will be driven into prisons at 60, 70, youth $120,000 a year, and come back to the community and they don't have any supports. Because people make money off of people when they're incarcerated. So I guess the Alex of the world created this tough on crime conversation and push, and this is what we have. It takes $18,000 to put a woman through a new way of life for 1 year. It takes $60,000 to incarcerate a woman for 1 year. Minimum. At the end of a year at a new way of life, the woman is healthy. She's engaging in the community in a way that's a benefit and asset to the community, reuniting with her children, going to work, going to higher education. After a year of incarceration, you are traumatized. You've been tortured. You're literally shifted back or sent back or spit out of the criminal justice system to begin a life with nothing, unhealthy, desperate, destitute. It just doesn't make sense. But until you look at the role of capitalism in this country.
You are able, though, to come out of this, and I don't think this should be lost in your story, which is that you come through a program, you get out of prison, you get sober, and you start to put your life back together. That story could end there, but it doesn't, because you decide that you are then going to help others and you're going to put this program together and you start an organization called A New Way of Life. So
yes,
for people to make that step, for the people who are lucky enough to get out of this system and to have that deck stacked against them, and then to go further and say, okay, I'm going to help other women, is quite extraordinary. And I'm interested in the personal satisfaction as well as the motivation that you have to do such a thing.
Yeah. So, you know, as you know, in the book, I write about my five-year-old son being accidentally killed by LAPD detective.
Right.
And that spun me into grief, despair, depression, and I used drugs to cope with that. Those drugs sent me to prison. And I lost a lot of years cycling in and out of the prison system, and it just didn't have to be like that. And each time I came back to the community, I was hoping, you know, wishing, praying to have a better life. But I failed each time, and rightly so. I was unprepared. But after I saw what happened for people in Santa Monica, the type of resources that they got instead of incarceration, I said, you know, I need to do this in my community. I need to make a way for women to come back. I was really fortunate to be able to access that. And, you know, it was a solution. And I wanted to share that solution. And what I realized is that I could not take back the years that I had languished going in and out of prisons. But I could help another woman not go back to prison. I could not bring my son back, but I could help another woman get her son back or her daughter back. And so it's been very, very satisfying. We've had over 1,000 women who have came through the doors of A New Way of Life and had access to get their lives back on track. You know, our recidivism rate, we flipped the numbers. In California, the recidivism rate is around 65%. Our recidivism rate hovers around 13, 14, sometimes 4%, depending on the year. You know, so it gives me great satisfaction. I think we all want to be useful, you know, in this world. And this is my useful right here at A New Way of Life. I remember in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, there was a line that said, I will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. I will see uselessness slip away. My whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. And those are the promises. It's not the, all of the promises, but, you know, I will see how my experience can benefit others. And so that's came true for me.
And through this process, in losing a son, you also were in danger of losing a relationship with your daughter. Your daughter lived with your mother while you were in prison.
Yes.
And you worked very hard, and she worked very hard, to rebuild that relationship once you were released. How do you
yes.
believe you came to that point where you could have that type of close relationship with her and with ultimately your grandchild?
Yes. So, you know, as you said, I worked really hard, but it had to not only be work on my part. My daughter had to do work on her part. And from writing the book, I found out that my granddaughter interceded for me quite often with my daughter. But, you know, I just stayed the course. And, you know, she had to do a lot of forgiving. You know, I had to do a lot of rebuilding. Forgiveness has played a major role in my life and in my recovery. But we have a great relationship now, and I am so grateful and thankful for that.
The name of the book is Becoming Ms. Burton, From Prison to Recovery to Leading the Fight for Incarcerated Women. The book is published by The New Press. Susan Burton, very inspirational and a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Again, the name of the book is Becoming Ms. Burton, From Prison to Recovery to Leading the Fight for Incarcerated Women. Susan Burton is the author. The New Press is the publisher. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.